Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
It's 3 o'clock on a beautiful winter afternoon in eastern Switzerland. I have some more sound for you. Listen to this. That is the sound of a rushing river, so crystal clear you can look down and see the sandy bottom. I'm standing on a bridge of great historical importance. I'm in eastern Switzerland. Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, and welcome to the village of Schwoll in the Engadine region of eastern Switzerland. It doesn't go much farther east than this. A short distance away is Italy. Another short distance is Austria. I would like to welcome Urs Wohler, who's a director of tourism for Engadine Schwoll. Urs, it's really nice to have you on Switzerland in Sound.
First of all, I have to welcome you in the Romansh language, and that means bienvenue à Schwoll. And now we are standing here on the Kurleiner Bridge. This bridge was built 100 years ago.
This goes over the river, which is the river Inn in German, or N in Romansh. We have to add, as you did, that this is the part of Switzerland where they speak the fourth Swiss national language, Romansh, which is a kind of a linguistic cocktail of Latin, ancient Latin, Alemannic, and Celtic all brought together. And this is the only place, and also on the other side of the border in South Tyrol, on the Italian side, they do speak it as well, although it's called Ladino over there. And this bridge is very, very high. How high is this bridge? It's almost, for people with vertigo, it's not recommended. We're looking over the side. That's several hundred feet. How high are we?
And that's 80 meters high, this bridge.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at Schwoll here. It's not a new place. It goes back a very long time.
Yes, that's right. Schwoll is known since the 15th century.
This is a place where you find spas. How old is that tradition?
This tradition started in 1870. They started to use this water, to use this mineral water for spas in the hotels. The first hotels were built then, and then spa tourism started here in the valley.
How many people live here today?
We have 2,500 inhabitants here in Schwoll.
And it's, of course, the biggest place around this area, isn't it?
Yes, this is the biggest place in the valley. In the whole valley, we have 7,300 inhabitants. Now you can compare how few people are living here in the valley.
And I guess today most people are involved in tourism in one form or another. Certainly with the spa tradition, many, many people come here to take the waters.
That's right. We have several hundred thousand people every year. They are coming to our valley, but we have only 7,000 beds. We have no mass tourism here in the valley.
Right in front of us, as we look to the east, oh, the mountains are beautiful. I have to just, as an aside, say the mountains of Engadine are characteristic. They're very, very nice. Don't forget, we're slowly going over to the Dolomites. So there is something of the Dolomites here. Mm-hmm. Unlike, for example, the Alps of the Bernese Oberland. That's a different sort of thing, or valley. Well, Urs Wohler, let's walk into the village and have a look at what we find there. Well, here's the sound of water again, and we are now in the lower village. There seem to be different levels of the village. This is historic. This is the old village here, and here's one of the fountains, and I understand that you get the real mineral water coming out of there, the same stuff that's going in the spa.
Yeah, that's right. We have a lot of fountains here in Schwoll, 20 of them, and every fountain has two pipes, yeah, where the water comes out, and one of the pipe always has mineral water and the other is normal water.
Now, what do we know about the mineral water here in the village? What's in the water?
The mineral water is very famous. Mm-hmm. And in the water are different minerals, sulfate,
Well, I think sulfur, it's a heavy sulfur content, sulfur, isn't there?
And
magnesium, I think, as
magnesium, well. Magnesium, we have a very famous magnesium water here, and you can drink it and you can bath in it.
Mm-hmm. Now, right around the fountain in this old part of town is a collection of beautiful buildings. How old are some of these?
These houses are 400 years old or...
Easily, I guess.
Yes, that's right.
And they're beautifully decorated, and the houses of Engadine are very special. You can notice already something of the Latin influence in the architecture. A lot of heavy stucco work, and, for example, arches and columns and things like that, almost slightly Romanesque. From the outside, there it looks like paintings on the houses, but those are not really paintings. That's a special technique.
The official name is sgraffito, mm-hmm. and sgraffito is a kind of they put sand on the wall, and then they scratch away.
A sort of a layer of plaster, and then they etch it, basically.
They etch it away, that's right.
I always thought from a distance it looked like painting, but I was not aware of that. No, here comes a gentleman now with a bottle he's going to fill up with water. I hear that the gentleman speaks English. I see your car, you're from Munich, Germany.
Yes, we're from Munich.
Yes.
We spent holidays here.
What do you think of Schkoll?
It's a very nice village, very nice town. I'm happy. I'm about 10 times here.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your stay. Thank you. Okay, Urs, we're walking away from the fountain there now. I would say that's a very happy customer.
That's right. We have a lot of guests.
You have a lot of people who come back?
Yeah, we have a lot of people which come back. We have 70% of the guests, they come more than one time.
We're walking up a very, very steep road at the moment. That reminds me, not far from here is the Swiss National Park, which is big country. And that's one of the things, this part of Switzerland is still big country, wide open spaces.
That's right. We can see the Swiss National Park over there. That's the coin.
Oh, that's where it begins.
Yes, here it begins. And with the postal bus, you are there in a few minutes. And we have a lot of interesting hiking trails. And I always say we have a lot of nature in quality of the Swiss National Park.
Well, Urs Wohler, here we are inside the big spa complex. Of course, while we're recording, it's quite cold outside, a lot of snow. It's winter season, very pleasant and warm in here. And we have steam coming up everywhere because we have all kinds of baths and swimming pools and everything. And we're standing actually at the counter of the spa where we're going to try some of this water. But first, tell us about it. I mean, water is the centerpiece of Schkoll, this entire area here. In fact, it isn't only Schkoll itself. I think there are other villages, too, down the line. For example, Tarasp, which is right next door, and probably a couple of others.
Yes, tradition of passing of the spa tourism started in Tarasp-Ulpera. Now all these passings are concentrated here in Schkoll and Tarasp-Ulpera. Mm-hmm. But this spa is important for the whole region.
But it's also, I mean, logistically speaking, Schkoll is the terminal station of the Rhaetian Railway.
Right.
So this is where people get off the train. And if you want to continue on, you take the postal bus or you have to drive up.
From the railway station, we have post buses in every of our 10 villages, mm-hmm. with good connections as well.
As far as I know, Urs, Schkoll and this entire area, you're very fortunate because it's an all-year resort, isn't it? It's an all-year destination, summer and winter.
Yes, summer and winter, and autumn as well. Autumn is a very famous season time here.
Is that the best time?
That's the best time, I think, because of the colors, because of the combination between these spa facilities and walking around in the nature with these very famous Indian summer colors.
Well, winter, I think that's clear. As far as sports are concerned, skiing, snowboarding, that must be the number one.
That's right. We have a ski resort with 80 kilometers of ski runs, and then we have here in the valley 50 kilometers of cross-country.
I imagine that must be very good here.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing are very famous as well, winter walking to the landscape, to the winter landscape.
Hiking in the winter really gets your circulation going, doesn't it?
That's right.
To be rewarded by a visit to the spa in the evening, I'm sure.
You can combine this very well with visits in huts, for example, in a restaurant, and then you go outside. That's very famous here in the region, yes.
And what about summer, the warmer months?
In summer, it's biking. Biking is very famous here in the region.
It's a place to take your mountain bike, but it's not that steep. It's pretty flat, isn't it?
We have a lot of different possibilities. We have a big event, the National Park Bike Marathon.
I was reading about that, yeah. Can you rent a bike here, incidentally?
We have several possibilities for renting bikes, and along the river we have easy paths for biking and hiking.
What about some of the wilder sports for the younger people, for example, like hang gliding or parachuting, this sort of thing?
We have a hang gliding school in Scholl. A couple of years ago we had the World Championship of hang gliding here. We have possibilities for river rafting on the Inn River. There are several possibilities for adventure sports.
And the water. I understand it's good also for a number of medical conditions, urinary problems, osteoporosis, I mean, just to mention two of them. And this is not just a claim that isn't proved. There are medical facilities here as well. There are clinics here.
Yes, we have a big medical center where you can have a lot of wellness facilities. People don't do that because they are ill, but as a kind of prevention.
Well, basically, as you say, there are two different sections or divisions, yes, of the water. One is wellness, where people come just to feel good, to get away from stress and nervous tension and the workaday world. A great place to unwind. We'll look out the window and see the beautiful mountains, a beautiful, brilliant, sunshiny day. On the other hand, people can actually come here for rehabilitation, for example, after occupational accidents, automobile accidents, rheumatism, different bodily disorders. There are medical staff here as well, so you get some really serious medical treatment too.
That's right. We have a medical center in here in the spa with doctors. You can make drink cures. You can drink them.
Drinking and bathing.
By drinking and bathing, yes, that's right.
Okay. Urs, the time has come to try the waters. We're going to sample the waters here, and there are four different kinds. What's the first one we're going to try?
The first we're going to try is the Svondratz. Mm-hmm. We have four kinds of water we can try here, but in Scholl we have 20 different mineral waters.
Limited to four, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Cheers.
Svondratz.
All right. Yes.
Cheers, Urs, to your health. It's naturally effervescent. Mm-hmm. It's quite good. Mm-hmm. It's almost a bit like what most people would consider a classic mineral water.
That's right.
There's a bit of a sodium flavor, mm-hmm, but it's actually effervescent, and it comes out of the ground like that.
Like this, it comes out of the ground.
Delicious. It's Svondratz. And what is that water good for, incidentally?
This water is very good for the stomach.
For digestion.
For digestion.
Reminds me of what the Italians do. They always drink a mineral water with their meal. This is the idea.
That's right.
And now finally we have Lucius. Well, that I think could translate from the Latin into the English as Lucifer.
Lucifer.
The
but
devil.
It's for cleaning out your stomach and your...
I think we can all use that, modern
sure.
people. Boy, that does have a lot of gas in it, huh? And it's all natural again. That's the way it comes out of the ground.
Yes. That's a crazy water. Lucifer.
Yeah,
you can
it
smell
is.
Him.
Yeah, I know why it's called Lucifer, because it's full of sulfur.
That's right.
Heavy sulfur and sodium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we are. We're in Scholl, one of Switzerland's most famous spas, and we are literally taking the waters. Urs Wohler, the director of tourism for Scholl and the Engadine region of Switzerland, thank you so much for showing us around the village. And check out the website. We have a link here on our website, Switzerland and Sound. Check out the website of the tourism organization for more information.
And it was a great pleasure to having you here.
Well, thank you very much. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm standing over the birthplace of Switzerland. This is not an exaggeration, it is literally true. I don't know how high it is. I would say probably about 500 feet or more, a couple of hundred meters above what's called the Rütli, R-U-Umlaut, T-L-I, the Rütli Meadow, which is where, according to the story, probably late in the evening of the 1st of August, 1291, a group of Swiss patriots, it wasn't Switzerland then, gathered together to swear allegiance and to swear the Pact of Everlasting Alliance, where they agreed to form a common defense pact. Let me tell you where we are exactly. We are in the very small village of Seelisberg, S-E-E-L-I-S-B-E-R-G. Seelisberg is in the canton or state of Uri, which is a small canton in central Switzerland. We are above one of the extensions, one of the arms or branches of the beautiful, breathtaking Lake of Lucerne. Why is this place so important? It's important to different people for different reasons. If we're talking about Swiss patriots and the Swiss citizen, this is the heartland. This is the Swiss heartland where it all began in 1291. We can look over and see down below at the other end of the lake, Altdorf, the legendary home of William Tell, the Swiss national hero. And we have this breathtaking beauty here. This picture taken from Seelisberg, and not actually taken, but painted, actually, of Seelisberg, is featured in the chambers of the Swiss House of Representatives in Bern. Before we go any further, let me welcome Otto Odermatt. Mr. Odermatt is actually a native son of this area, not from Seelisberg, but close by in the canton of Nidwalden. You're really neighbors just down the street.
Yes, I'm born in Stans, and since 20 years I'm living here in Seelisberg, in this beautiful place, how you said it exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people, they say they come from very far, and they say we have never seen such a beautiful place like Seelisberg. And Marishi says it's Seelisberg is really heaven on earth.
Now, you mentioned Maharishi, and that's the other part of the story, because if we turn around, we face away from the lake. Here comes a lake steamer coming into the Rütli Meadow, where many people make the pilgrimage down there. We turn around, and in front of us, Mr. Odermatt, is a magnificent hotel of the great era of the British tourism. And this is the famous Sonnenberg, or yes, Sun Mountain Hotel, yes, which was full of aristocracy, wealthy, you know, the rich and famous of the day. But then it fell into disrepair because the Grand Tour tourism declined, mm-hmm, and it was bought by the Transcendental Meditation Movement. And you mentioned Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was, of course, the guru, to use that term, or the yogi to the Beatles and many other people, the one who brought Transcendental Meditation, one of the forms of ancient Vedic or Indian meditation, to the West. And he made his headquarters here.
From 72 to 84, Maharishi was here, and he has done most of the activity out from here, from Seelisberg, for all over the world.
Before we go anywhere else, here is a monument which was erected. I'll read at least part of it because it's quite lengthy. World Government of the Age of Enlightenment, International Capital of the Age of Enlightenment, Seelisberg, Switzerland. I was there at the opening of that event.
Yes.
I believe, if I remember correctly, it was on a lake steamer.
Yes.
Maharishi and hundreds of journalists were there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I interviewed him, I believe, the last time. And this goes back to the 12th of January, 1976. I knew what I was doing on that particular day.
Yes.
And here are the gardens, which are actually across the street. At one time, this used to be a restaurant. This was the Terrace Restaurant,
yes,
part
yes.
of the hotel.
Yes, yes. This was a part of the hotel. And then, because you have here a very beautiful view on Fronalbstock, on Mieten, on...
This is one of the great classic views of Switzerland.
On Priestenstock. It's so yeah. beautiful. And it's always exciting when the people come here, they can't believe how beautiful it is, Seelisberg. And you can walk around, you can go on the boat, you can swim in the small lake. And when you open in the small lake the mouth during swimming, you can drink the water because
so
it's so clear.
Yeah.
Clean, huh?
Well, here is a beautiful fountain. The grounds are very nicely kept by the gardener. This is a fountain which unfortunately we don't need on this particular day because we do have some light rain falling. Actually, it's quite interesting up here in Salisbury. You probably have at least as much sun as you have rain, if not more, because of that famous fern. The dry wind from the south,
yes,
which comes through here and dries everything out very quickly. And very often, I believe, you're much warmer here than in other parts,
yes,
of Switzerland.
That's true.
Even in winter, you can get like 20 degrees, 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yes, this can happen when the fern goes, the snow goes very quick away. Huh?
There are people living here who have nothing to do with transcendental meditation. Before Maharishi came, there was nothing here but cows and people making cheese and doing some farming. It was a very, very rustic and very quiet place. I think really it is still very much like that, isn't it, here in Salisbury?
Yeah, it's a touristic place. You know, we have different hotels here from Schützenhaus until Bellevue. We have
must be at least 6 or 7 or 8 of them.
We have a lot of hotels, and during summer they are occupied. And this is the cheesemaker passed by.
Oh, he just by with his truck delivering.
Yes, yeah, and he makes this very famous Salisberger cheese.
Yes, and it only comes from here. It bears the name. In fact, I went doing a little shopping before.
Yes,
and I bought one to bring home because
nice.
It's one of my favorite cheeses.
Yes.
And we have to explain, there's only one road through the entire village.
Yes.
And it's very long, I guess, from the entrance to the village until the funicular
tribe.
Station,
yeah,
tribe.
Or until tribe, yeah. You can say, yes.
Yeah, and that's what, maybe about 1.5 kilometers, a mile long.
Yes.
And all of the houses and the little shops, and there is not many, are left and right of the main road. We're looking at something which I'd like to walk up to, if you don't mind, Mr. Odermatt. It's an old chapel. I think it's 1436 or 1476.
Yes.
Let's just go in and have a look in here, because it's quite a beautiful chapel. And inside the door, well, the acoustics change, and the smell of candle smoke.
Yes.
People have lit candles here.
Yes.
And people are very devout. I know that religious services are held here on a regular basis. And this is also a chapel of pilgrimage.
Yes.
What is the story there?
It's a pilgrimage place. And if someone was ill at home or some accident happened at home, then they made a pilgrimage here to this place. And all these votiv-tafeln, we call it votiv plates, we could say.
These are, in a way, prayers or even confirmations of help from the Virgin Mary.
Exactly, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And giving thanks for the help.
Exactly. You know, you can see the story here, huh? 1682.
It's a painting.
Yes, it's a painting. Then you see
They were cutting down a tree.
And then it was falling on a man.
Uh-huh.
So, and then they came here and prayed. And then there it get help. And this is the whole description. These are very, very beautiful.
The whole story
painting.
Of what happened.
Yes.
How he was saved. Outside again. What else is there to do in Salisbury? I would say medical tourism. Also, meditative tourism is important to this area on the one hand. But what about classic tourism? We just were talking about the Rütli Meadow. We looked down on it up here. And this must bring a lot of people.
You know, the Rütli belongs to the youth of Switzerland. So in the primary school fourth class, you go to class trip. Class trip you make to the Rütli. And now we have here, this was from 1991, they created this way of Switzerland who goes around.
It's a hiking path, isn't it? Walking path.
Very beautiful, you know.
You see all the historic sites and from different directions, different perspectives.
Yes, so you can walk around the Lake of Uri. And many, many tourists comes here to walk, to make this beautiful walk. They come up from Rütli and then to Salisbury, and they walk to Flüelen, Sisikon, and back to Brunnen. Yes, and then you can also come with the boat from Lucerne. It's a fantastic, beautiful boat ride. You come to Treib, and then you go up with the funicular, and then you walk this way of Switzerland.
You made a very important point, Mr. Odermatt, because I've done this so many times. This is, I mean, central Switzerland in general. This is the Swiss heartland.
Yes.
This is where it all began here, and it is indescribably beautiful. And it's a real challenge to describe the beauty, I must say.
Yeah, it's I'm glad.
Well, I'm had on our website, I'm glad that we have multimedia aids as well with pictures, because you can take Lucerne, which is, of course, the famous destination that everyone goes to, and then you can get on a lake steamer, and you can get on and off at so many destinations on the lake, and get off at a little place called Tribe, at the bottom here of Seelisberg. Go up in this funicular, which takes maybe 6 or 7 minutes, and then you can walk up, and you see people in the summer especially. The woods are so beautiful. They have camping places. They have barbecue, grilling spots there.
Yes, and the children can play there. It's a very beautiful place.
There's even accommodation for classes and groups.
And
the hotels here and the magnificent beauty. Well, look, at the turn of the century, it was the wealthy British aristocrats who caused them to build this fantastic hotel, the Grand Hotel Sonnenberg.
Yes.
That style of tourism doesn't exist, but the beauties that brought them here still does, in a very big way.
Yeah, yeah.
I know in the area there are so many excursions that can be done. There's also skiing. There's walking is just the beautiful here.
Yes.
And also by car, because don't forget, this extension of the Lake of Lucerne, which is technically the Lake of Uri, is part of the great, classic, famous Gotthard route to the south, to Ticino, to the south, to Italy, and Italian-speaking Switzerland. And here is also that fantastic highway that goes through the 17-kilometer-long Gotthard Tunnel. So from north, from south, you're right in the middle of it
Exactly,
and easy to get to from any direction.
Exactly, you have right.
And breathtaking views, lots of peace and quiet, or as active as you want to make it.
Yes.
But this is not a so-called glitter resort. For that, you have to go somewhere else. This is for people looking for reflection, for peace and quiet, and meditating over not only transcendental meditation, but also the history of this great country in Europe. Thank you so much for telling us about Seelisberg in Canton or state of Uri in central Switzerland, the Swiss heartland, the birthplace of the Swiss Confederation, started on the 1st of August in the year 1291. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.